You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter, we've opened your word. So Spirit of God, thank you very much for helping us. We want to stand. We can't stand without understanding. And we certainly can't withstand without understanding. So, Spirit of God, help us in every way. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, we have reached the upper room, just hours, literally, away from his crucifixion. And the apostle is writing his assignment. He's the last living apostle. His assignment is to present to us a summation and an overview of all of history. And God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. God being only God, the only God, the only Savior. That's all about God being God, who he is. And the Gospel of John is going to present to us God in the person of Jesus Christ so that we understand the wonderful person of God. And that's what the Gospel of John is about. And all of that can only take place if God is willing to pay the price that it's going to cost him his son for our sin. Someone has to pay the price. We cannot pay the price. We are the ones that need the price to be paid. He paid the price on Calvary's cross. Now, so here they are in the upper room, a special, the 11 that are left after Judas. And the 11 are there, and they're going through the anguish of being left in the lurch. Their whole world is going to come to an end as they perceive it. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to go out and be crucified, and they just are in a great need. And God deals with that in a most awesome way, as we've shared. So when we come to chapter 14, and we've gone through it, remember now, Peter wants to know, where, chapter 13, verse 33, little children, yet a little while, I am with you, and ye shall seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither, the word whether, where, whither, where I go, you cannot come, so now I say to you, etc. Sliding down to verse 36. Simon Peter, in response, said unto the Lord, whither, where goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither, where I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. So here they're trying to figure out where, and they're trying to figure out the way. So Thomas and verse, remember the trigger for this, is in verse 4, chapter 14, verse 4. And whither I go, said the Lord, you know. Whither, where I go, you know. And the way, you know. And remember we shared together that verb to know. A person is knowing something out here. He's knowing it in here. Knowing, knowing, knowing. And it's in the perfect tense. You know, you already have knowledge. The knowledge remains. You are knowing. Thomas, remember, we share together, verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know, same verb, we know not whither, where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And so Thomas, in contradiction, says, we don't know. We don't know where, and we don't know how to get wherever it is you're going. We don't know how to get there. That's what he said, right? Straightway, that's good old Thomas. And that's what he said. Now the Lord answers that, and we shared that together in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, to Thomas, I am, and the rest are listening, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now remember, there have been a 3 1/3 years they've been with our Lord, day and night, basically. And they've been with him. Now, so in the process, he's going to help them. What is it that they know, that they think they don't know, that they ought to know? So, Jesus said, I am the way, I am that I am. Remember Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, I am that I am. Moses, they want to know, they're going to want to know who sent you. And Moses is going to say, to the people, I need to know who sent me. And God said, tell them, I am that I am. I am always who I am. I am never less than who I am. I am always forever who I am. I am. Now, and so therefore, the I ams, I am the way. And we share together to understand he's going to use language that is very familiar to them. They're Jews, they're fishermen and tax collectors and all of that, but in the synagogue, and they've read, the scriptures have been read from the scrolls and everything, and so they know. Here's the Old Testament, and all about, in the Old Testament, is all about the way, the way, the way. And there is no other way. And God, you made it clear that angels can't help, humans can't do it. There's no way, wealth, merit, goodness, niceness, you can never do it. There is no way. I am the way. There is no other way. And the Old Testament, we shared together, the Old Testament illustrated it over and over and over again that he was the way and that there was no other way. And therefore, so they should have known the way. God told them that all through the pages of history. They should have known the truth, which he said, I am the way, I am the truth. And we shared that together. The truth, I am the real thing, the reality revealed. Remember we used the pencil to illustrate it, little pencil, and here's the lead at the end. And if you sharpen the pencil and sharpen it all the way, as you sharpen the pencil, you'll find the same lead all the way through. It's the same. It's true. T-R-U-E. It's real. It's real. It's really, really, really what it is. God really, really, really is who he is. The truth. I am the truth. I am true. Truly, truly who I am. I am the truth. And therefore we share together that, and in the process, and remember the word truth, as we looked at it, has a little negative in front of it, not, and then you add a verb to it, to conceal, to hide, not to conceal, not to hide, truth, to reveal, to make something clear, open, plain, simple, easy. I am the truth. I am the truth in a most wonderful way. And I am the very essence, truth, the word truth, the very essence of matter. You don't make anything true. It either is true or it isn't true. You don't make anything true. I need to know that. But God is true. He absolutely, you are really you. You're truly you from head to toe. You're you. God is who he is. Now, not only is he the way, as we share together, he is the truth. He really is who he is, and in a most wonderful way. He tells the truth perfectly about God because he is God. He tells the truth about man because he is man. What is man created for? To tell the truth about God. God, what have you done? You created man before angels, good and bad, to tell the truth about you. That he's perfect man, and he tells the truth. He is the truth. Now, keeping that in mind, and therefore over in John chapter 5, just to tie that together a bit. In John chapter 5, you remember our Lord Jesus Christ, perfect man, just illustrating all over the place. But here's verse chapter 5, John, verse 30. The Lord said, I can of my own self do nothing, zero. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just. Why is that? Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me, which hath sent me. I don't represent me, I represent God. I am made in the image of God. I am perfect man, perfect God, united by Bethlehem and by the Spirit of God in Bethlehem of Judea, born of the Virgin Mary. And I want you to know that I'm God. And verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. You were created, I am created, people are created to tell about their Creator. If I start making me God, everyone thinking like the Antichrist will do and all that, God, and we're God, we've evolved the highest of creatures and critters, and we're the highest, and we make ourselves higher by pride than we are. And that's false. The Lord Jesus said, if I did that, I do not tell the truth. I must tell the truth of who I am. I must tell the truth about the God who created me. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and remember now, you don't have to turn there, John chapter 17, 18, as my Father sent me, so send I you. So we're representing him. Now, hang on to that. That's our assignment. That's what we're sitting here for, to represent a great God who's a wonderful Savior who saved us. Now, over, if you would, while you're here, John chapter 14 again. And in John chapter 14, picking up, if I may, in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the third item is life, his life, life. So it's all about his life, his wonderful, wonderful life. And now, the Old Testament pointed eagerly, easily to he's the way. God's the way. God is the truth. No question, you couldn't turn the pages of the Old Testament without finding God is going to tell you over and over again, he is the true and only God. He tells the truth. He cannot lie. Now, and the third item, which is Old Testament, is about life. Wonderful, wonderful life. So the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am all of those in one. I'm one. But I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Now, let's just remind ourselves in the light of the Old Testament, our God, do they understand life? The Lord Jesus said, I am the life. Now, would they have understood that? Should they have understood that about God? Now, and you know death, we shared that in Sunday school a bit about death, and keep that in mind if you would. Death is the absence of life. And if I may use the illustration from Sunday school. In the light of that, when a person is physically dead, they are not concerned about the weather. They aren't concerned about being cold or hot. They aren't concerned about being hungry. They have no interest whatsoever of anything here on earth. And if you don't understand that, next time you go to a funeral home and there's no one looking, go lean over the casket and ask ask him how he feels. Ask him what he thinks about the weather. You need to learn that. That's death, physical death. Spiritual death is the absence of God. Coming and going up and down the land, work, home, school, play. Where's God? We're in the presence of God. Life. God, you are life. We are living. We understand existence. We have existence. We have eternal existence. But we don't have life. The uncreated life, your life, God. Your life, your marvelous life. Now, over, if you would please, in the light of that, in the light of God's wonderful life and that, over to Deuteronomy, if you would, chapter 30. Just to remind ourselves, the Old Testament is going to say it page after page, year after year, century after century. And Deuteronomy, chapter 30, may I pick up, please, in the light of the context, verse 14. The word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So God, you've given them the Ten Commandments, you've given them the statutes, your judgments. They're holding it, they're aiming to have it in their head and in their heart. Now, sliding down as you do to verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but thou shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. In other words, you're going to lose the relationship and the awareness and the freshness of God's wonderful person, and you're going to be godless in a real practical sense. Now, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record, to bear witness this day against you, that I have set before you life, there's your word, and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, God, you don't have to tell us which glass has the arsenic in it. Don't have to guess. Don't take that glass. Don't do death. Don't do death. Do life. I'm telling you what to do. Verse 19. Blessing and cursing, therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Verse 20, purpose, that thou mayest love. You can't have any love without being alive. How are you going to love? How are you going to be loved if you're dead? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him like glue, Gorilla glue, like that. Now, cleave unto him for he is thy life, and the length of thy days. He is a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. Where am I going to go the way? I am the way. Where am I going to find the truth? I am the truth. Where am I going to find the life? I am the life. And thus, verse 20, he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, and to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, having said that, over if you would please, just to see that again, chapter 32. And God, you're going to tie it again in your thinking. Chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, verse 46. Now remember, now all the people are gathered together when Moses is giving the last words before they cross the Jordan. Chapter 32, verse 46. He said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words, which I just read in 30, chapter 30, all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do them, all the words of this law. For, reason. It is not a vain thing for you, because as you honor God's word, it is your life, verse 47. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. It's your life. An understanding, an intelligent, rational understanding of a wonderful God who gave you a brain, and gave us a brain and a heart and a mind to think and understand. Over, if you would please, to Psalm. Take a big jump to Psalm 16. And just check it again. Here's David. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God, remember, we could all kinds of ways we could read it, the path of life. God, you want us to go down the path. He leadeth us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God, it's all about life. Do it another way that's easy. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs in chapter 8. And if I may, remember now, chapter 8 is all about wisdom. It's about wisdom. God is wisdom. It personifies, it takes wisdom and makes it alive. How can wisdom and knowledge become alive? It becomes alive in the person of God. God. So now when you're reading about wisdom, but actually you're reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of wisdom and truth. Now, so verse, if I may go right in the light of the context, verse 32. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. In other words, they're listening. God, help us. For are you going to be disappointed looking to God? No. Verse 35. For whosoever findeth me, find me wisdom. When you find me, you'll find life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So God, you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you find wisdom, you'll find me. If you're going to look for wisdom, you're going to find me. And verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. So now, so in the light of that, the Old Testament, if we just read all kinds of places to remind ourselves of that, he is the life. God is the life. God is the way. God is the truth. God is the life. So how could you be a thoughtful Jew or anyone reading the Old Testament and not understand that God has a very specific way himself? God is the truth and God is the life. And without God, there is none. So that becomes pretty easy. And thus, but are we going to read it and let it be understood? Or are we going to go and not read with understanding? And not read, don't care, I don't want to really understand. I don't really want to understand history. I don't want to understand much of anything. I just want to enjoy me. I want to believe what I believe and make everything what I want it to be. I want to define everything on my terms. I want to make things what I want them to be for me. That's our world. That's a sad time, but that's where we're at. Now, so here I am the life, and God's wonderful, uncreated life. Back over, if you would please, to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John and chapter 1. So God, when you started off, you made it clear what you were trying to communicate in the wonderful Gospel of John. So the Gospel of John, chapter 1, may I go, I'll read it just to get the movement. Verse 1. 1:1, Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God, you made yourself and prepared yourself, Hebrews 10, a body in which to dwell in, and you're able to go and demonstrate wonderfully who you are in a most wonderful way. And just keep that in mind, and for those that may help to review, remember now, God, what are you going to do? I'm going to go and try to help them. Now, remember, here's the insect life down below here, make believe. And here's the insect life, and they're all down there, ant life we used, illustration. And the ants are there, running all around, and they're in great trouble. They don't realize it. There's an anteater coming, and they're all in great trouble. But they don't realize that. And so you're trying to help them. You created them. You're looking down, and the ants don't even know you. You're too big. You're too much. So God, what are you going to do? Well, God, you're going to become an ant. And the ant's going to get down there and crawl, Bethlehem, Jerusalem. They're going to crawl around, and you're going to tell them, listen, there's an anteater coming, and we need to get ready. But you know what? Who would listen to that little ant? No one listens to another little ant. No one. But boy, the little ants had an exposure to God the Creator in a very special way. God born in Bethlehem of Judea is very special to know Him. Power, Mount Sinai, all heaven and earth, and glory of God, everything, every flowers, bugs, birds, bees, humans, everything says you're God. But we don't know where to go from there. That's why you became flesh and dwelt among us. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, John chapter 3 and in verse 14. And you're going to say, all I'm doing is reminding you of what God took time to write so that you'd know it. So you have to guess at it. Chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, remember, in Numbers. Picking up verse 15. That purpose, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So God, what the whole business is to help us dead people to have life. To have a relationship to you. That's what we need. What is life? Life is enjoying a unique, personal, saving, awesomely magnificent relationship to your wonderful person. Now, so therefore, a sliding in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. You're going to say it over and over. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So believe. What's it all about? To know, to have a unique, personal, wonderful relationship to Almighty God, to be able to enjoy having life. And you can't enjoy God if you can't enjoy dinner. You can't enjoy the most special meal that you could ever dream of this afternoon if you're dead. And you can't enjoy the wonderful benefits of God if you're spiritually dead. God said you got to have life. I've come that you could have the relationship, to enjoy the relationship. How can I relate to you, God, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am all of them. I'm not only all of them, I am the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But I am the Father. I am God. Now, so, over in John chapter 5, and verse 24, just reminding ourselves, verse 24, chapter 5, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not, N-O-T, come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death, what? Unto life. The minute I received the Lord as my Savior, I entered into a unique relationship to God, and the relationship started instantly because the life was already there. Where is the life? It's in the person of Jesus Christ, who you received as your Savior. When you received him, well, when you receive the water into your stomach, where does it go? Into your stomach. You received it. You have it. So when I received the Lord as my Savior, John 1:12, that's where God. When did I get life? When I received you. Think of 1 John 5. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. So when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received you, God, but your life. That's right. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am. I am who I am. I am everything. I am the whole ball of wax. There's nothing anywhere. There's no one anywhere. I'm the top. I'm the only one. I'm God. And you're in the middle of me. Wow. You need to know me. And I took and went and died on the cross so that you could. Chapter 11. In chapter 11, if I may. Picking up, please, you know, to Martha as we did all these things. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Remember, Lazarus died, her brother. And Martha saith unto him, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. She was trying to understand the future, not very good, but she tried to. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And, verse 26, and whosoever shall live, liveth, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? He that hath the Son hath life. You're passed from death unto life. The moment you receive me as your Savior, you have it. You already have it. It isn't anything to do with your feelings, your fears, your faults. It's about God. We're going to honor God, and God said, you're going to know me on my terms, who I am. And therefore, when you receive me as your Savior, you have the way, the truth, and the life. You have it already. Now, having said that, John chapter 6. And you're going to do it again for us. John chapter 6, picking up in verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Sliding over, if I can, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 48. I am that bread of life. We aren't eating a Wonder Bread. We're eating bread. God, where's the bread? I am the bread. I am the life. I am. Sliding over to verse 48. I am the bread. I am that bread of life. Sliding down verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. and I'm going to die. I'm going to die for the sin of the world because they're dead in sin. They need to be alive. And I've come to give them life. I've come to restore the relationship, to make it possible instead of being born dead, like you read in Ephesians 2:1, dead in trespasses and sin, that you have a relationship to God in His amazing grace, in His wonderful saving grace. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, and in verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, verse 57, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I'm the Savior. You can't come to God the Father without me. So it's an awesome, wonderful relationship, and we have to exercise it. So I am the life, the wonderful Creator. I am the Savior. And the rightness that you need, I provide that righteousness. The relationship you need, I provide that righteousness and that relationship. And therefore, I am happy, said God, and He is. We're in His presence. God is happy to be wonderfully holy and wonderfully heavenly and wonderfully happy. And God is. God. So now, God, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to either going to ignore you or we're going to believe, and God, you have to help us. So therefore, except no man cometh the Father. No, back over to John chapter 14. No man cometh the Father but by me. Verse 6. The only way he can come is by me. Now, you'll remember now, if you would, hold your finger here just a moment and go over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And our Lord telling and giving wonderful understanding. Matthew chapter 11. May I pick up, please, in verse 28. Remember the verb come in John 14:6, and the little preposition by, come, unto, I should say, unto. Verse 28, chapter 11, Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Come in my direction, in my direction. Come unto me, come unto me. And it's through me, by means of me, through. I'm the agent. I'm the way. You can't come any other way. Except by me, there is no way. I am the, John chapter 10 again, changing it a bit, John chapter 10. God, what are you telling us over and over and over again? John chapter 10, picking up, please. In verse 9, I am the door, through me, if any man enter, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door, I am the Father. I'm standing in front of you, he said. I am everything, all at once. Standing in front of you. Where do we look for the way? I am the way. How are we going to get there? Where are you going? We're going to the Father. I am the Father. God, answer my questions. I am the answer. I am the answer. But what about? I'm the answer. Look to me. We sang it. My Father planned it all. God, you are on top of everything. If we would but enjoy and look to you with all our heart, we would have all of those benefits. Now, thus in John chapter 10, sliding, if I may, to verse 27. Verse 27. We'll get the context. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How can you if you have life? How can, if you have eternal life, how can you lose it? How do you stop eternal life from being eternal? You don't. All right? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, and so therefore, God, how did you keep saying it? We just don't get it. Verse 29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, granted, that's an awesome thing. How are we going to get anything out of you, God? We aren't. And by the way, he said, verse 30, I and my Father are one. See, I'm trying to help you. You're trying to make a big deal. I am a big deal, but you don't got to understand. I'm not 10 different deals. I'm not 10 different things. I'm God. Period. I'm the Savior. Period. I am the Shepherd. Period. I am your sufficiency. Period. I am. So don't, you're playing. That's where you lose, because we lose the wonderful, simple relationship of just trusting Him. Thankfully. God, thank you. I got everything. But no, I don't have everything. But I do have everything. That's right. God, there's no way to have you and not have everything. Everything. Now, having said that, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So over, if you would, you're here in John chapter 10, sliding down to verse 36. You say of him whom the Father has sanctified, set apart, and sent into the world, thou blaspheme, because I said, I am the Son of God. Verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though ye believe me not, believe not me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father hath sent me. The Father is in me, and I in him. We have a unique relationship. At least believe the evidence. That's why all the signs and wonders and miracles and the feeding of the 15,000 and all of those different things, because you're God in a most wonderful way. Therefore, John chapter 5. John chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto when I work. Therefore the Jews, did they understand what he said? Yes, they did. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, and they understood making himself equal with God. They understood that, but they didn't want to believe that. They don't want to believe. You're really who you are. I am. I'm the truth. But we don't want to receive it. We reject you. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is rejected. They don't want to believe who he is. Because if he is who he is, then I have to understand he is who he is and he died for me. If I take him at his word and believe God is the Savior, then I need to be saved, don't I? If he's a Savior, then I must be a sinner, and I must need to be saved. I don't want to believe that, because then I got to be saved. Then I really must need to be saved. Absolutely. I don't have any relationship to God apart from you, God, apart from your Son. I don't have any whatsoever. Therefore, God, in your awesome, awesome way, verse 19, Jesus answered, 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. God said, just watch me, what I do, what I say. The evidence is going to be there. Obviously, I know something about tomorrow that no one else on earth could ever know. I know all about before anything ever started. I know all about everything. So you want to know. I don't have to go to a Ouija board. I don't have to go to astrology. I don't have to go to some system to try to find a future. You are the future. You are the wonderful, wonderful future. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, it's going to cost God his son in a most awesome way. Therefore, John chapter 8, if I may, and chapter 8, picking up the thought, if I may, in verse 16. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. So all I'm trying to do is start to do it. God, you're going to say it over and over and over and over and over again about your wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful way, and that you and the Father are one. So how am I going to turn the pages without saying that? So that's what the whole point is. And remember, in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John, what is the spirit of Antichrist? The spirit of Antichrist is that Jesus is a nice a prophet, like Islam, a prophet. He somehow, for some reason, died for people, and we have a whole lot of thoughts. No, the problem is, 1 John, do you understand Jesus Christ is God? That's the enemy's whole objective. Jesus can love you and care, but you need to understand he's God. Do you understand he's God? And he's going to die. He's going to die for your sin and mine. Now it's going to cost him. Do you know when they built the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan, between the lower and upper peninsula there? And just to get a sense of it quick, to build a bridge, to cross from one place to another, cost and work, etc. The total length of the bridge and approaches was 26,444, and even 5 miles, was 5 miles long. The length of the steel structure was 3.25 miles long. The steel was structures were 3.25 miles long. Understand that. The length of the suspension bridge was 1.75 miles. The length of the center span was 3/4 of a mile. And 42,000 miles of cable were used. 12,580 wires in each of the two main cables. You have to understand that would certainly, if you fall off a cliff, boy, that's going to hold you. I got to tell you. Anyhow, having said that, and the tower piles were 200 feet below in the water and 552 feet above the water. And the bridge was 20 feet wide between the cables, 4 traffic lanes, etc. Now, I did that little, just you don't need any of that. You don't care about that probably. But do you know what a project that was? They waited for that since 1887. They were trying to get that bridge. God has made a bridge from here to there. And it cost him his son. That's what he did. People like traveling across this bridge. There's only one way. It's the true way. It's the only way to have life. It's the only way to get to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the Father. I am the door. I am the bread. I'm everything. That's hard, isn't it? I'm everything. That's God. Otherwise, he isn't God. We try to make God man-sized in us. We need to understand God is God-sized. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and help us inch by inch here. that we would have a greater, healthier, happier, holier understanding, that we'd be able to exercise the benefit, not of anything of earth or our social life, academic life, work life, social, any play, work, home, school, doesn't make any difference. God, you are the sum and substance of the whole thing. So when we look to you, we have it all. And so therefore, we can go to school, we can go to work, we can go to the home, we can go through the hard things and the easy things. All of those things are, God, we can do because of you. Just you, all by your lonesome. God, thank you very much. The disciples are going to be able to handle it because they're going to discover your wonderful person and the cost which they could not understand or comprehend. God, and neither can we. But it cost you, God. It cost you your Son on Calvary's cross. Wonder of wonders. To make the ordinary extraordinary. To be able to do the ordinary in an extraordinary way. So whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, to do it to your glory and honor. Because we have a unique personal relationship to you that we're to exercise. That is the church. The church, your body. We're not a club. God, I don't need to tell you that. We're not a club or anything else. We are to have a unique relationship to you, and that's what we're to exercise and enjoy, experience, and outwork. God, make it so. In Christ's name, amen.